Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I began this week, coming out to go in. And where are we going in? We began the message looking at God's people, Israel, who after 400 years of Egyptian slavery and bondage were brought out of that realm, out of that which was probably the most prominent civilization at that time. They were brought out and given by the Lord an opportunity to enter into the promised land. Now, they were delayed in their wanderings in the wilderness simply because the majority refused to believe God. The 10 spies discouraged the hearts of the people. But ultimately, God, and that's, we can take heart, regardless of where things look like in this world, regardless of the news events, regardless of the tragedies, the natural disasters, God is in control. He has a timeline. He has a pattern. He knows exactly. He's not surprised by anything. He knows exactly what His will is going to be brought forth, the timing of it. We get little glimpses as on a need-to-know basis, I believe, personally, as far as the body of Christ also. And so our place is to trust God and to do what He has called us to do. So, as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a conclusion, we were talking about the stages of development, if you will, a Christian goes through. First of all, they're born into the kingdom as a babe, and they need to desire the sincere milk of the Word, just as a natural child needs healthy milk to grow until the time it is able to begin to take solid food. Then there's a stage, and I suppose we could liken it to what, the toddler stage all the way through the teen years of being a carnal Christian. Now, hopefully, if there's good parental controls and examples and guidelines and teaching and love, they will develop into, and I'm speaking naturally now, into a responsible adult that cares for themselves and cares for others. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants of us. He wants us to pass through that rebellious stage, you know, as teenagers, you can remember those years, you know, you felt you knew more than just about anybody else. That's sort of typical of the teen years, why they're trying to find themselves. God, you see, that's the wonderful thing. We are each unique, and that desire to be who we really, really are has been given to us by God, but we can only find who that is. We can only reach that potential in the Lord, and He takes delight in seeing us develop into the person that He desired us to be from eternity. He knew us before the worlds were. We were in His mind, praise God. And so we go through this phase, all of us. It's a part of growing up, that stage of carnality. But we have to be able to pass from the milk of God's Word to the meat of God's Word, to be fed on strong truth. And until you pass from this stage of experience, you can't really receive the deeper things of God, just like a small baby cannot handle a steak. I mean, there's a process. You have to have teeth. Your body develops to be able to handle the things that a growing child is able to receive. And so a carnal Christian is like the children of Israel when God brought them out of Egypt. God did everything for them. I mean, He provided a table in the wilderness. He gave them manna. He had water gush out of a rock. He did all this because He loved them, and He wanted to demonstrate the importance, the daily importance. Why was the manna just given every day? So they would trust in him. And on the Sabbath day, a day which should have been a day of rest, they were allowed to gather twice as much to carry them through that time. And so God has a purpose for everything he says. Now, we may not understand it. The important thing is that we will obey him and please him. Now, with things that happen in our lives that we may not like, we can complain about them. We can get mad at God. We can not talk with him. But the point is, God wants us to understand that through the trials, through the battles, which are a part of this life, they're a part of growth and development. Let's take the example of working out, of keeping one's physical body in health. If someone stayed in bed all the time or sat on a couch, they would be weak physically. Their muscles wouldn't be developed. And so they have personal trainers who can work with individuals to develop and strengthen their entire body or certain areas of their body. And so God allows these, and that's a hard work. I mean, I've never had a personal trainer, but I'm sure, you know, you have to really work. Regardless of what type of exercise you do, if you're doing exercises, there's some challenging aspects to it. And that's just a part of, quote, getting in shape. Well, that's true spiritually. There are trials, there are battles, things we have to go through that we don't really want to go through, but struggles and battles and trials are a part of this earthly life. Paul says, but all that you're going through, beloved, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed, to what's ahead of us. You see, that's the joy we can have, the hope we can have through all that we go through, because we know what is waiting for us. We know the truth of what Jesus said. And what's his whole purpose in this is that he's never lost that first intention for man. What did he say? When man was created, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So it was God's purpose to make man a ruler, not a servant, over the things of the earth. They were placed in a garden east of Eden, and they were to tend it. And I'm sure it was very pleasant work. So in the beginning, God created man in his own image. He had a position of rulership and one of authority. Remember, Adam was enabled and entitled to name the animals. We can read that narrative in the first chapter of Genesis. In Genesis 1:28, we're told, and God blessed them. This was the first thing that God did for man. He blessed him. And there are many today that present an image of God that is not accurate or truthful. Yes, he's a just God. He hates sin. He punishes sin. That punishment was laid upon Jesus. But he's not some tyrannical dictator who sits in the heavens seeking to inflict punishment and sorrow on the children of God. God's first act, remember, after he created man, was to bless him. So let's understand this principle with the knowledge that God has always wanted to bless his children. He's wanted to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He doesn't want to punish or inflict terrible things upon you. That is not his nature. That's the work of the enemy. But we have power over all. He's given us that delegate authority, just as we see with the disciples. Remember, he sent them out two by two. He gave them power, and they came back rejoicing, power over the enemy. They came back rejoicing. He said, well, that's good, but rejoice rather that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so in Genesis 3, we find the greatest tragedy, a record of the fall of man, how God's heart must have been wounded, even though being God, he knew that would come. And the willful disobedience to God's command and warning. Satan said, and you know what? There was truth in some of what he said. He said, you shall not surely die. That was a complete lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God. Well, that's not true. But their eyes were open, knowing good and evil. So he mixes lies with truth. and people lay hold of some aspect of the truth and they fall and are deceived and are you know, they become captive. And so without a desire to hearken to the word of the Lord, to follow God, we also can be deceived. And that's why the word of God is so important. It's not a denominational list of principles of do's and don'ts. It's not closed line religion. It is the word of God. And so in the third chapter of Genesis, we see the fall of the human race out of fellowship with God, but also we see God giving the promise of redemption. In verse 15, he tells the woman, I will put enmity between thee, or he's talking to Satan, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He's talking about his people, and as well as Jesus. He shall bruise thy head, referring to Jesus, crushing him, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so we see that certainly happened in the death of Jesus Christ. In Genesis, the first chapter, we find God's creative act of bringing forth the plant life and the animal life. God said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth vegetation after its kind. In verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beast of the earth after its kind. And it was so. Hallelujah. Beloved, the word of God is everlasting. His word can never die. His word is a living word. Matthew said in chapter 24, 35, Jesus said these words, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Beloved, we're living in wonderful times. The time of the return of Jesus draws ever closer day by day. It's important that we know him in a personal way. We receive him as Savior, acknowledge him as Lord, and allow him to guide our lives. Well, my time is gone for this week, and we'll continue on next week with a further amplification and with whatever new things the Lord would have me share. I love you. I thank God for you. I pray for you sincerely every day. My partners, my radio family, even those of you who have never written, I'm praying for you nonetheless. I love you. Thank God for you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.